From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and I am honored to have with me as my guest today Congressman Mark Meadows from North Carolina. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. It's great to be with you. Thanks so much for letting me join you.
As you know, today is June 6th. It's the 75th anniversary of D-Day, the beginning of the end of a war that caused immeasurable suffering. We are both children of the greatest generation. A generation that won and secured the victory of democracy. Your dad served in the army in France and helped secure the peace after the war. My dad was in the Navy in the Pacific Theater during World War II. With each passing year, there are less heroes around that from that era. So it leaves it to us and our kids to carry on that legacy.
Well, it does. I can tell you that probably the biggest thing, Bob, is that that greatest generation taught us to truly understand what freedom was all about, and selfless service. And I think that's the other key, and as we talk about some of the issues today, a real shout out to all our military men and women, our veterans, those who have served, and those lives that were lost. You know, I was at Normandy, and I saw crosses and stars of David on a hill, and it reminded me that we had a number of heroic boys, actually, and I say boys because they were young, young boys at that point, come across and land on those beaches. But when they landed, they were not boys, they were men, and they truly, many of them gave the ultimate sacrifice. So I just, my heart is filled with gratitude, but also a responsibility, and you hit this, a responsibility to share what the greatest generation taught us, and hopefully so we can share it with our kids and grandkids.
Now, let me formally introduce the congressman. He represents the 11th Congressional District of North Carolina. He is serving in his fourth term in the House. He is known for his keen attention to serving his constituents. What is unique about Congressman Meadows as both is that he's both a committed conservative as well as an astute listener of all sides of legislative debate. For this reason, his partnership with Chairman Elijah Cummings of the House Oversight and Reform Committee and Jerry Connolly is noteworthy on developing postal legislation. So I just want to ask you something, Congressman. You've become a leading proponent of a viable universal postal service.
Right.
Back when you were chairman of the Postal Subcommittee, and your particular district, which is postal reliant, and in this era of e-commerce, where Bass Sporting Goods does not necessarily have a store in every part of your district, like, I mean, such hamlets as Luck and Trust, North Carolina.
Oh, very good.
What impact does the Postal Service and Universal Service have on a community like yours?
Well, it's interesting. We mentioned the military earlier. The only other contact that most Americans have, either with a government entity or a quasi-government entity, is the Postal Service. And so they look at the Postal Service as not just delivering of mail and packages and parcels and e-commerce, but many of the postmasters and post service workers actually are part of the family. And so people go to their local post office to not just share the news of the day, but to gather in fellowship. And so here's what we've got to do, is we've got to make sure that we have a postal system that is sustainable long-term, that is flexible enough to emerge and meet the current demands of e-commerce. And then lastly, that we put the political capital in, and you mentioned Jerry Connolly and Elijah Cummings, that we put the political capital in a bipartisan way to make sure we get it across the finish line. And the great thing I love about the two of them is that they are always honest, and they represent their constituency in a forthright and honest way. And they allow us to actually negotiate in an appropriate manner to hopefully get something done on behalf of the American people.
Congressman, I want to step back a second. One of the functions you have in Congress, other than being a leading proponent of postal reform legislation, is you're chairman of the Freedom Caucus. Can you explain a little bit about your role as chairman of the Freedom Caucus and why it has such a pivotal role in the House of Representatives and with the White House?
Well, when I created the Freedom Caucus, it was more a function of trying to get some leverage for someone who was here and had only been here in Congress for, at that point, 2 years. And I looked at, okay, how do we work together to advance legislation, put together bylaws and worked with that. If your listeners are Googling it, it's going to say far right, ultra conservative. And really, for us, it was more about just doing what we said we would do. And so we created the leverage there. We ended up with a very, very close relationship with the President of the United States. But the other part, and you mentioned some of my Democrat colleagues, even though they may not agree with my position, what they do admire is the fact that I'm willing to stand up for those principles, whether it's against Democrats or Republicans. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to be pretty effective in moving legislation. The other is if we sign on to something, it gives it kind of the conservative, good housekeeping seal of approval and allows for other conservatives to sign on to legislation.
Let's talk about that good housekeeping seal of approval. Is there any tension between you as being a proponent of postal reform and members of the Freedom Caucus who are maybe not too keen on stabilizing a government agency?
Well, to be frank and honest, yes, there is. I have some of my caucus members who would support privatization of the postal system, some that want to just open the box, some that want to have it declared bankrupt. And yet, I've looked at this as a way that we could actually make sure that we keep it sustainable. So they've given me a little bit of grace. They're allowing me to try to get the most conservative bill across the finish line. Some of them will reluctantly support it, even though it may not be their first priority in terms of a legislative agenda.
You mentioned before about the relationship that you and the caucus has with President Trump. Can you share with us what the president's views might be about the Postal Service and about your efforts to maintain a viable Postal Service?
I've had a number of conversations with the president personally about the Postal Service, and as you know, they put together a commission to study it. I think from his perspective, he wants to make sure that a postal system actually does survive. I can't imagine him supporting anything that would undermine a long-term ability of the Postal Service to provide the needs to rural America as well as those in the cities and suburbs. That being said, I think he believes that we've got to find a profitable margin. And some of those areas are not profitable. When you look at rural America, there are a number of areas that it may not be profitable. And just because it's not profitable doesn't mean that we can't just ignore those constituents there. So we've got to find a way to make sure that we serve them. And so I see at the end of the day, it'll be a combination of reform and perhaps some assistance in areas that will say everybody can make sure that they can get mail delivered to their home.
Has the president, as we all know, presented to Congress, actually the president released to Congress, and you saw the report of the task force. Has there been any further communication with regard to the task force itself?
Well, I in the last Congress, I know that the task force and I met with Senator Heitkamp a number of times. She was a champion on this particular issue, and quite frankly, I hated to lose her, and I say that coming from the other side of the aisle. Obviously, Senator Tom Carper in the Senate, Senator Ron Johnson has worked very closely with some of my House colleagues. I've had a number of conversations with the task force to say that the report that they have is not something I see getting implemented. We're going to try to take the best from their reports and craft it into a piece of legislation that hopefully addresses the lion's share of that, but also does the American people and this president a service in terms of making sure that we don't have to come back and revisit this again.
One of the issues with regard to the relationship between you yourself and the president is I know you were pushing the president to nominate a former staff person of Senator Heitkamp, Ashley Poling, a native of North Carolina, onto the Postal Regulatory Commission. And earlier this week on Monday, the president indeed did nominate Ashley to that post.
He did, and I can tell you that I weighed in personally on her behalf, even though she worked for a Democrat senator. The country will be well served with Ashley Poling. She is just a tremendous asset. She gets it, and that's what I appreciated. She was concerned about postal workers. She was concerned about rural America. She was concerned about making sure that we get this done right. It was a great nomination. She will make a great member once confirmed, and I'm excited to have played a very small part in that role.
Let's look back, if we can, to this hearing earlier this year where you sort of queried the Postmaster General on the 10-year plan, on the business plan
right.
of the United States Postal Service, which you said that just due to a miscommunication or being misled earlier this year about the timing of the delivery of such a plan, there was a danger of you changing from being an advocate to being an adversary with regard to the Postal Service. Have you seen as of yet a 10-year plan or a new business plan? And if so, can you provide some insight or takeaways about it?
Yeah, so my concern with the Postmaster General and her position was, as I told her, I said, I want a 10-year plan. And that 10-year plan, even if it has the S word, subsidy, I want what makes it viable. I want our postal workers, I want the whole postal system to not have to worry about what Congress is doing tomorrow, the next day, or the next day. Let's get it done. And if I'm going to take a tough vote, let's go ahead and make it one tough vote, not multiple tough votes. And so that 10-year plan I have not seen. I do understand that they have some principles that they're ready to deliver to Congress, and that will happen next week. I also understand, having met with two of the Board of Governors, that plan is still not final in terms of what it's doing. Now, I'm optimistic that at the end of the day that we will be able to find some common ground. It would take a lot for me to not be an advocate and go the other way. And one of those things that would get me to go the other way is five-day service.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only troubling, the only negative tone I would give you right now is that I continue to hear that the Board of Governors and the Postmaster General are considering five-day service or a trigger on five-day service, and there is bipartisan opposition to that.
Is there an irony to that? Because as I understand it, last week the Federal Express is contemplating seven-day delivery of its parcels, and that it is also talking about reclaiming 2 million addresses from the Postal Service.
Well, it is, and I told Jerry Conley and Stephen Lynch actually met, we may be breaking news here, but we met over the last 48 hours on a bill that we're trying to get out of the committee. And I said, I would support seven-day delivery of both parcels and mail, but I'm not going to go seven-day parcel, five-day delivery, and then a trigger that candidly is not really well thought out. You know, we're getting into a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week kind of e-commerce situation, and to pull back on that is ignoring the obvious.
So let me ask you this question. Universal service
right.
for the Postal Service.
Right.
In your view,
yeah.
at least six-day delivery is part of that universal service obligation?
Yes, and that may be in conflict with some of my Republican colleagues. As you know, Chairman Issa was a big proponent mm-hmm. of five-day delivery. I serve with Daryl and love Daryl. I disagree with him on this, but universal service really is a six-day foundational principle in terms of what I believe we need to count on. Because if it's not 6 days,
right.
what makes it five? Why not three? Why not two?
Right.
I mean, and so at this point, 6 days is where we need to be.
And particularly with regard to rural areas.
Yeah, I'm
universal.
My district is affected the most, and I say my district. Districts like mine, rural America. I mean, you know, it's real easy to suggest, okay, you're going to pop in and run around the corner and get something shipped out or done. I live in the mountains of North Carolina. Sometimes you got to be going there to get there,
mm-hmm.
and so all of rural America. Which are the ones that are the least profitable,
mm-hmm.
Getting a package to my mom, that's 2 miles off the beaten track is not profitable. I get that. And there's an obligation from a federal standpoint that we have to do there. But that being said, it is key that we make sure that whether you live in a city or a suburb or out in the sticks, we provide those services.
That's the sort of the commonality between Chairman Cummings, Jerry Connolly, and you, that Chairman Cummings represents an inner city urban area.
Right.
Congressman Connolly represents a suburban Washington area, and you represent a rural North Carolina area.
Right.
The common interest is providing accessible mail service that's affordable.
100%. So if you can make Elijah Cummings, Jerry Connolly, and Mark Meadows happy, let me just tell you, most of America will be happy with that.
But you know, also, what's in addition to the legislative common ground that you have, you actually get along very well with each other, and people don't understand that.
They're dear friends. I mean, and I mean that in the most sincere and honest and transparent way, dear friends. As you know, Chairman Cummings has had some health challenges. I have been on my knees praying for him on a daily basis. I've checked up on him when he's been in the hospital because I care about him personally. And he can vote against every single piece of legislation I have, but personally, I love the guy.
Yeah, I want just a personal reflection here. Not enough people know about those types of issues, that
yeah.
you could fight like cats and dogs over legislation and be partisans. Very strong partisans,
right.
But the relationships that build friendships and could help sort of bridge gaps
yeah.
really is, you know, invaluable.
Well, it is, and I respect Elijah Cummings and Jerry Connolly, too, but since we're on the chairman, there are people who underestimate Chairman Cummings. He's wickedly smart, strategic in everything that he does. But you know what I like the best about him? He will never, ever lie to me. And he has shot straight with me in times where it would have been easier for him to equivocate. And that's what I appreciate about him the most.
And I know they've said the same thing about you publicly at the hearings.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's no secrets here about the relationships.
We have a true friendship. We really do.
So let's talk a little about postal reform right
yeah.
now. When do you think a bill is going to be introduced?
We were in the last 48 hours talking about that. I've actually have a few meetings later today and tomorrow. I'm hopeful that we introduce something next week, that we proceed very quickly to markup, within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And everything suggests that that's where we're going to be. So June is the key month.
Do you think there'll be another hearing on a bill, or is it going to go straight to markup?
I think we'll go straight to markup at this point. We talked about that the other day. I don't know that there's a whole lot to benefit from having another hearing. I don't know that the Board of Governors 10-year plan will be far enough along to actually have a hearing on the 10-year plan. So what we're going to do is try to incorporate some of the principles in a manager's amendment. And for those that are listening, they may not know what a manager's amendment is because I didn't know what one was. And actually, some of my colleagues still don't know what they are. But as we look at that, is probably take a bill that's very close to the bill that we had unanimous support out of committee last time. Make a few modifications and have that come in as a manager's amendment to see if we can still keep bipartisan support for that. And that's going to be the real question, what that manager's amendment looks like.
Do you feel comfortable mentioning some of the areas that there might be changes in the bill?
I'm trying to work with some of my union colleagues and those that are probably more pro-union when it comes to there's primarily four major unions that we deal with in terms of the postal system, having conversations with the stakeholders there. And it will be two areas in terms of the vesting, the percentage of vesting and when it vests in terms of retirement.
That's and, Medicare vesting?
Well, then there would be a Medicare integration piece of that as well. That would be retirement. Some of the proponents that we have both on health care and retirement and the way that those work hand in glove. But the biggest stumbling block right now is on the Medicare side and on the integration. Mm-hmm. What percentage match, where we're going to be, how is it, who gets to opt out? Some of the folks at NARF have some concerns about our retired employees. And so, and contrary to the headlines they might read about me, actually I've been reading a whole lot from some of my union stakeholders to try to make sure that we don't disadvantage anybody there as well.
My last question.
Yeah.
The National Association of Postal Supervisors, as you know, represents the frontline managers.
They do. And they do a good job, by the way.
Thanks a lot, Congressman.
You didn't pay me to say that.
I did not pay you to say that, but we thank you for that.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to NAPS members seeking to ensure a viable, universal, accessible, and affordable postal service and help you secure meaningful, constructive reform of the Postal Service?
All right. So here I'll give two things that they need to do. Pick up the phone, personally call their member of Congress and call their senators. And by picking up the phone, I mean them personally picking up the phone, asking to speak with their member of Congress and say that they need help. Now, if they have a personal relationship, that's really good. Even if they don't have a personal relationship, tell them to do that and then share that with those that they work with. The more phone calls, I mean, Congress, if they can't see the light, they need to feel the heat. And then, so if they would do that, that would be great. The second thing is to continue when there are compromises, and both sides are going to end up compromising on that, to applaud the compromises instead of complaining about them. And if they complain about them, let them complain privately. I've suggested that I'm willing to compromise on a few things. I think my Democrat colleagues are. Those need to be applauded instead of moaned and groaned about. And so if they could do those two things, I think it would help.
And we thank you for the time that you've provided with us today, and we wish you the best of luck next week, hopefully when the bill gets introduced.
Well, we'll plan on that. Take care. God bless.
I'm gonna stand right down and write myself a letter.